You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. Since 2009, HRN podcasts have been exploring the wide world of food, beverage, and agriculture. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
Today's program is brought to you by Corin, a supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. For more information, visit corin.com.
Hello, welcome to Japanese. I'm your host, Akiko Tema, a food writer and the director of the New York Japanese Culinary Academy, which promotes a deep understanding of Japanese cuisine in America. We are broadcasting live from Brooklyn, New York. This show is all about Japanese food and food culture. We see sushi at every deli in the supermarket, but what is beyond sushi? We see dashi ramen izakaya, but what exactly are they? Japanese food is still a mystery for many people, and I try to demystify it in this program with my cool guests. And my guest today is Arimi Asahi, who is the co-founder of Fish and Dish Sakanaya Asahi, based in Tokyo. Fish and Dish Sakanaya Asahi is a unique and highly inspiring fishmonger. When we buy seafood, most of us will go to a supermarket and purchase a piece of fish without knowing its whole shape. And it is easy and convenient, but the process reminds us that we have become very distant from how we used to eat fish. And Arimi and her husband, Kazuhiro, have a mission to shrink that distance. Their innovative mom-and-pop business has no address, and they are ready to deliver the freshest fish straight from the market to whatever their clients are. And not only that, they offer various catering and educational services to teach how the whole fish is broken down and comes to your plate. Their business started in 2015, and the idea of a fishmonger without a storefront has become popular through word-of-mouth recommendations among foodies and environmentalists alike. So today, we'll discuss how Kazuhiro and Arimi came up with the concept of the nomadic fishmonger, the unique entertaining and educational programs they offer, how their business can support the brighter, sustainable future of seafood consumption, and much, much more. But before we start, Japanese is available on the Heritage Radio Network website, as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. So please go to iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, whichever you listen to, and subscribe to Japanese. And please write a review. We really appreciate your feedback. Now, let's start a conversation with Arimi Asahi. Hello, Arimi. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Akiko. Thank you for having me. It's very exciting to be here.
Yes, so me too. So what do you do? It's just fascinating. So, yeah, and thank you for staying up for so late to talk to us on the show. So, first of all, to get to know you, where are you from and what did you eat when you grew up?
Okay, I'm from Ehime, which is located on the island of Shikoku, which is quite southern part of Japan and surrounded by really calm sea. And I have always eaten very fresh fish since I was a little child. And especially when I was really small child, freshly caught fish was brought to very in front of our house by very old women from the harbor with kind of like wheelbarrow, what do you call it, push cart. And oh, wow. So I have, it's like more than like 30 years ago, but yeah, I have found like memories of buying fresh sea bream or like mackerel with my grandma from that like fishmonger lady and came to sell them in front of our house.
Well, that sounds like a Miyazaki movies, one scene from Miyazaki movie.
Yeah, right. I think it's a similar feeling. Yeah. So, and what surprised me most when I came to Tokyo when I was like 18 and I ate fish at izakaya, it's kind of like Japanese style pubs and like small stores. It wasn't like never be fresh as it was in we had in Ehime. And also, although you can, of course, eat like delicious fish in very expensive, like fancy restaurant in Tokyo, but not in like local restaurant. So that's the moment I felt I really appreciate for that. I was in very blessed with a great food environment.
Mm, yeah. Right. Wow. So it makes sense. What you're doing is what you're doing. Right. So, Your husband, Kazuhiro Asai,
yep.
originally started fish and dish sakane Asai yep. in 2015. Mm-hmm. And when he was convinced that there is enough opportunities in the market, he incorporated the business in 2018, as far as I learned yep. from whatever I read. And along the way, you joined the business only to support him a little, but now you are an essential part of the business, thanks to your strong corporate business background. So what was your career before you joined fish and dish sakane Asai?
Okay, thank you for saying that. Yeah, I began my first career as an advertising producer for a wedding magazine. And at that time, as you know, like printed magazine was still the mainstream and the web trend began to arrive. So I was able to learn about the transition of advertising and communication from like print to web media, and also as well as like media strategy using social media in its very like early days. And later I worked for an agency as an event producer. And since I could speak a little bit of English, I was able to plan or produce or manage kind of like wide variety of events, including like a business event for overseas client from the US or from the UK, or the ceremonies organized by the Japanese government. So there I learned to create a communication plan that combines with public relations or like web page production or like customer attractions, like kind of pretty much the entire connected journey of an event from like start to finish. And later when I was pregnant, when my first kid, I have to be on leave from the work to have the baby, and my husband and I launched Fish and Dish, our business. Yes. So that's like, yeah, how it goes.
Right. Yeah, so I will discuss it later, but your husband is kind of craftsman type and you are kind of business manager. So
very different, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Right. It's he's got lucky and you got lucky too to have
yeah,
this
yeah,
perfect.
I am very fortunate.
Right. Okay, and I'm curious though, did you guys meet through Love of Fish?
Not really. We have met through the music.
Oh.
It's really like different. Yeah. But we used to organize like a music event when we were very young. So, but yeah, we, in that time we were still like partnership to create the event. So the relationship haven't really been changed, but yeah.
Okay. So we can expect good music, background music for two events.
Yes. Yes.
Right. So, and your husband, Kazuhiro, also has a very interesting background, and his father had a strong influence over him.
Yeah.
That's what I heard. So could you tell us how he grew up and how he ended up starting a unique seafood business?
Yes. So my husband was born in a town called Numazu, which is in Shizuoka Prefecture, and he grown up right by the sea. And his father, he is just very interesting and he was just awesome man. And his father worked for manufacturer, but he also had a side job, which was really, really unusual in those days in Japan, as you can see. And the side job was fisherman. So he had like parallel work as like a manufacturer and a fisherman, which it's kind of like modern, right? Like modern style to build your career.
Right.
And his father, yeah. And so his father took my husband fishing kind of like every weekend and on his boat. And my husband always says he will never ever forget that like freshly caught fish he ate on the boat with his daddy. And that experience of having so much fun. And so that's the experience which remains in his life. And after my husband graduated from his university and he became an engineer, and he wanted to do something like making things creatively, but like reality was a bit different, like stress of like sitting at the desk all the day, and he couldn't see like what he's delivering to his clients. And that's still valuable work, but that wasn't his style. So he wanted to like do like different job where he could touch things with his like own hands and be a part of like people's experience. So experience from his childhood with his dad inspired him to decide to go into the fish industry, and he started working like first at fish market in Shizuoka. And after 5 years working at the Shizuoka fish market, then he moved to a trading company which is specializing in fish. And there he learned pretty much everything from like catching fish to like distribution, kind of like importing, like exporting. So like pretty much like everything about fish. So and then while working for the trading company, he got often asked by his friends to bring like fish to friends' home party. And he did. He brought some really fresh fish to some friends' home party and trimmed the fish into sushi or sashimi at the party venue, like in front of your friends. And it was very well received. And like more and more friends started asking for my husband if he can come over to their party, and by word of mouth. So this was, yeah, the very much the beginning of his current business. So yeah, so at first he was working for a trading pan company, and on the weekend he's doing this kind of like casual catering things. But when the number of booking for his fish travel cooking increased so much, he decided to quit the trading company and concentrate on his new business. So that's pretty much how it worked. Yeah.
Interesting. So I think you mentioned this connection between what you create and actually create it. So that's frustration of not being able to, you know, as a big corporation that happens all the time. And also it's the same thing as a seafood business right now from supermarket. Yep. You don't see the whole thing. And so your husband, Kazuhiro really went to the extreme. Now he does everything straight. There's no disconnection between what he does.
Yeah, so he's quite happy with that. And I think that's a good point, is that experience comes from his dad and experience on his from childhood. And that's really strong experience. It's really important to us as well. To raise our kids as well. So, yeah.
Right.
I love this story.
Maybe it sounds like it's a very strong DNA. So your child may be the same way. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we will.
Right. So what is the concept of Sakana Yasai, and what is your goal? By the way, the Sakana Yasai, the fish and dish Sakana Yasai, is that the full name you prefer to use?
Yeah, but like for English speakers, fish and dish is easier to remember. So like I always use fish and dish to the customer from overseas. So, but we're just anything you like. Fish and Sakana Yasai is a proper name, but yeah, you can just say fish and dish.
Okay. All right. So because Japanese website features Sakana Yasai, but yeah, fish and dish. I really thought it was very clever to have fish and dish.
Really. I like it, the sound. Yeah.
Yeah. I see your PR background.
Thank you.
So let's go back. So what is the concept of fish and dish? And what is your goal?
Yeah, thank you for asking. The concept of a fish and dish is anytime and anywhere. And that means not only like logistics or distribution, but also providing an experience. Especially before the pandemic, our strength was to provide an experience of fish. So we would deliver fish directly from the fishing harbor and trim the fish to sushi in front of the audience on site, the party or reception or whatever, or to have kids watch the fish market and experience buying fish in on the spot. So our goal is to energize the fish eating culture again, because in recent years, there are like many young parents in Japan who do not know how to process fish, and many kids who think that like fillet fish sold in supermarket are actual fish. So even though we were born in an island nation, we have developed our food culture by like taking advantage of like nature's bounty. Now we have two kids, and I believe that like simple kind of traceability of catching fish and eating fish has a positive impact on our food culture. So there is a like growing interest in sustainability now as well. So our goal is to promote the joy of the fish as a limited resource, like through like quality experience rather than just consuming like large quantity of fish. I think that's a goal of ours.
That's a great point, because my mother can easily fillet fish, like as she can close
that's
her
awesome.
Eyes and do
yep.
it. And I learned from her, but mm-hmm. this is an excuse, you know, outside Japan, it's hard to get very, very ocean flavored fresh fish. So I made an excuse. I'm not going to do that here. And if you go to a Whole Foods market, everything is filleted already. So
yes, and clean and simple. Yep. Easy.
So, but I still remember filleting fish by myself. I appreciated the flavor, and it's like you touched life. It's mm-hmm. dead, but it's a past part of life.
Yeah.
And
definitely, yeah.
Right, that means a lot, and I think that's why your business is so appealing to a lot of people.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that experience is needed too, especially for kids. They have to appreciate the lives. It's not delivered from the supermarket, but it's delivered from the nature. So, we focus on that experience.
Mm-hmm. Right. The another key part of your business is you get the freshest fish possible, not through the main fish market, but
yep.
regional market. So, you know, like Tsukiji now moved to Toyosu. These
yep.
are the world's biggest fish market. And we always think of fish, Tsukiji. Fish Toyosu.
Yeah.
So what's the difference? What is the difference between regular fishmongers and your business in terms of the distribution system? And maybe you can tell us, regular seafood distribution in Japan through
yep.
Toyosu and how you do it differently.
Okay. The regular distribution system in Japan, it's very complicated. And it's very complex process. So, well, you see like fishermen catch fish, and then it delivers to fishers' port, and then to like local intermediate wholesalers, and then to the central market. And the central market means like kind of Tsukiji market, right? And so the Tsukiji market to the central market intermediate wholesalers. And then finally, then to supermarket or restaurant or small fishermongers, and then the users, the end users. So this is like complete, like, really complex process, you can see. But we know, thanks to the background of my husband's experience and career, we know like fishermen's in local, like in person, or like local wholesalers in person, not city or like central wholesalers, but very like local areas in Japan. So with its freshness, speed, the price, we have high advantage because we can get really fresh fish from the fishermen directory or like local wholesalers directory. So I think it's a connection between like human to human. It's not about the system, I guess.
Right. So is it kind of, to me, that reminds me of like, if you have really good fresh produce, you go sell at the super at the farmer's market. Whereas, you know, it's a real mainstream supermarkets like Whole Foods or whatever you call. So that sounds like a similar system. And it sounds like the way you sell fish, you get fish and sell fish, may be a way more sustainable. And you end up getting fresh fish because you don't try, the fish doesn't travel as far as you sell food.
And also, that's true. But we cannot have like huge quantity. But we only sell like limited quantity. But I think that's how we are. That's our strength, because we are small business and we know like what our customer wants. So it's kind of like customizable, and it's more like sustainability when in terms to of like distribution and delivering Yeah, and also the quantity as well.
Mm, right. Well, we talk about what kind of fish you deal with, but we'll take a quick break here. And when we come back, we'll dive into the unique and inspiring program Arimi and husband Katsuhiro offers. So please stay with us.
Today's program is brought to you by Corin, supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. Corin is proud of their Japanese culture and traditions, but they want you to know that their products are not just for Japanese restaurants. The knives and tableware bring out the best qualities of food from every culture and fit into every restaurant, from French to Pan-Asian to American, and that is why they are located in New York City, where people from every country in the world come to eat. Corin's Tribeca showroom is home to the most extensive collection of Japanese chef knives in the world, including Japan. Stop by to view their exquisitely designed tableware and the rarest natural sharpening stones. They have a whole range of knife services, from repair and rust removal to reshaping and realigning. Corin is dedicated to this ideal, bringing the highest quality Japanese design to your table so you can experience the unparalleled quality of Japanese craftsmanship in your home or restaurant. For more information, visit corin.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Japan Needs on HRN, Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Akiko Tema, and my guest today is Arimi Asahi, who is the co-founder of Fish and Dish Sakana Asahi, based in Tokyo. So after you get the freshest fish through, you know, specific regional market, what services do you offer?
Okay, before the pandemic, we offered three services. One is like lifestyle catering, and the second is like market experience tours, and the third one is wholesales. And now we have expanded to like four. And of course, because it's on the pandemic, catering and tours kind of things have been really difficult time to organize. So we haven't really offered them in the past couple of years, which is sad for us. And we started like fourth things, which is running a small store as a community place in our neighborhood. So right now with our two kids, we are enjoying to sell incredibly fresh fish to people who live in our community in a very, very small store. And before the pandemic, we thought that being mobile was our strength. And it was really. But as we raised our kids, we began to have like more interest in like increasing the value of our own place in this certain location. So now we run this little store only once a week, but this is really fun. Yeah.
Mm, so it's more kind of part of the daily life of the residents nearby instead of events.
Yes, and it's the place to connect people where you live, where we live, and the place we can enjoy the conversation about like how fish is fun and what kind of fish we are having right now in the season or kind of like that. Mm. We miss like real connection to the customers. So this is like the way we connect to customers, and also we can show our kids how our business are going. So yeah, we are enjoying this.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So not many people can go to events and that's like life once in lifetime events. So yeah, maybe COVID benefited your business by connecting more closely with the daily occasions. So that's amazing. And who is your customer?
Good thing about our business is a combination of B2B and B2C. So we are with both corporate customers and individual customers. And in Japan, fish is a common favorite subject for like nearly everyone. And we are a small business and we believe our strength is that we can pivot. I don't know if this is right word in English, but we can pivot. Like during the pandemic, people didn't go to restaurant or didn't party. So the needs for the supermarket increased. So we stepped up our wholesales to supermarket during the COVID, and that became our biggest sales in our business. So maybe the after pandemic is over, I think we will increase our service to individuals again, maybe like doing catering for the party or making tours. But right now we are focusing on wholesales, which is very which has very high needs in Japan right now.
So in many other things, like Japanese sake consumption increased thanks to the COVID because people started to drink sake at home.
Yeah.
That's the retail aspect of it. So that's the same thing. And it's really great to hear that people are really interested in tasting local fish, very fresh local fish. Mm-hmm. And then they know it's available if they try to get it. Mm. Right. I'm not sure how many people can get that kind of local fish through, you know, without you.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other business that can be delivering the local fish?
I think there are. Like, there are some companies which are offering really good fresh to the kind of, like, e-commerce, via, like, e-commerce platform. So there are many ways. But, yeah. So I think we have the customers right now. We have many choices. But, yeah, so we can just pick up. Yeah. So we don't really have like lots of quantity, but we focus on the quality and the conversations and relationship with customers. And so I think the customer can choose like the variety of the fish or like connection or like conversation with the sellers. So yeah, I think that's good. How can I say that? It's a very good movement in Japan as well.
Right. I think, but your business is different because you're giving, kind of opening the door to deepen interest in fish and how they can proactively eat fish rather than get the fillet emails, the mail ordered fish. So, yeah, that's great. And so in the past, you know, before COVID, of course, there are programs that you offered as an event. So is any... from now on, is there any event and programs that our listeners can participate in?
We are still under like pandemic restriction, but once we are able to welcome tourists, I would like to do like another tour that offers like realistic fish experience that's not too touristic, like kind of primitive experience, like going to the market. We would love to invite tourists to the Toyosu, the new one, the Toyosu market as well, and do like buying experience and then cooking experience and something like that. And also, we are always open for do the catering. That's my husband's passion. So yeah, I think these two activities that listeners can participate in Japan. Yeah.
Great. Yeah, Toyosu Market Tour sounds very interesting. I've never been to Toyosu in person, and I heard it's just amazing.
It is.
Updated facilities. So,
right. It's clean and it's huge. But also you can still feel the vibes of like old style like fishes and like wholesalers. So the culture remains, but like facilities is new. So it's a good combination in Toyosu.
Right.
So you will love it. Yeah.
Probably safer with not running cart. Tsukiji Market was famous for kind of very aggressively running cart, fish.
Yeah.
It was very dangerous.
I know.
I heard I think annually a couple people get hit and get injured or something like that. So
yeah, they don't really care about like tourists or like women, kids, just anyone.
Right. So that's the business. So don't get out of my way.
Yeah.
Right. So the Toyosu Market. So hopefully Japan is still a little bit of in trouble
still
with
a little
COVID.
Bit of restriction, but yeah.
But hopefully soon we can visit. Yeah, I'd like to participate in Toyosu tour that you offer us.
It will be good fun.
Right. Okay, so could you share some of your favorite memories from the events that you organized in the past?
Yes, still a lot. But when we did activity for kids that combines like tours of the fish market, buying and cooking with them on the spot, this kid was a kind of afraid of fish, and she didn't really want to eat like raw fish or sashimi, sushi, but she did attend the activity with her parents. And a few days after the event, her parents told us that she told the parents that she wanted to go out to eat sushi with her family for the very first time in her life, because she had so much fun at the event, and that the fish she had at the event was so good. Well, this was super awesome for us. I mean, we were able to live some special memory in someone's childhood experience, like just like the one my husband had in his childhood with his dad. So this was the favorite memory from ours. Mm. Yeah, I think. Yeah.
You changed her life, I think.
Yeah.
In many ways.
We hope. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably you made her healthier too. So.
Yeah, hopefully, yes.
Right. Okay. And then when have you traveled to serve your clients? Because you are nomadic.
Yes, we are mobile. Yeah, we are very mobile and we are very flexible. And we have been to lots of areas in Japan, like Nagano or Okinawa, but we have been to overseas as well. And we have served in Singapore and Australia so far. And both are so special experience to us. And the funny thing about those experiences was to maintain its freshness of the fish we brought, we hand carried the fish, which we have just caught from the fishermen on the day of the departure, and we hand carried onto the airplane, which was really challenging. And it's just so much fun. Like, imagine like fishmongers are traveling with like very huge white box with like full of fresh fish, and it's carried, hand carried to the airplane, and it's so much fun, and the customers were really happy. That's the best thing, though.
Yeah. Right. So you never had problems with carrying fresh fish?
No, because I think that's thanks to the career of my husband. Again, he has a bit of experience of like importing, exporting, and he knew like what he has to be prepared before like bringing those things to the country. Like to the some country we cannot bring like any specific like fish, but he knows like kind of that those things, so yeah, it worked really well. We were worrying about like if the water was like flipping down or kind of like that, but yeah,
it was awesome.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, so in other words, you where's my fish, and you can't get it, and there's no event. So I think
yeah, it's the end. But yeah, and the customers were happy. So yeah, that's the best thing.
Right, and do you ever consider using the local fish of the destination you go to?
Yeah, that I think that's a great challenge, and we did one in Hobart in Australia. And we have been to the fish market and we bought some, and we did like great combination between like Japanese fish and Australian fish, and which is really fun. And I think it's more like sustainable because we don't have to like deliver by apron or anything. So yeah, we are very curious about what kind of fish we're eating in that area, and what kind of fish are very popular in that area, and there was a difference like between Japan and that area. So it's another great thing about like traveling to different countries with fish. Yeah,
I asked this question because with your skill sets, you know, some fish that's not utilized well enough at the local area, you might be able to show how valuable it can be based on how you process it and how you taste it. So That's an important role from now on, I think.
That happens. Yeah, actually that happens in Australia. Like mackerel. Is that mackerel? That they didn't like eat like mackerel or like a specific fish in Australia. They believe like that's the fish like humans shouldn't eat or something like that. But like my husband treated that fish really well, and the customer were really happy and very surprised like how delicious it is. So like that kind of like surprising experience. I think that works in like different cultures and different countries. So yeah, right. I think, yeah, that's a great chance and that's a great challenge for us.
Right. And sounds like Kazuhiro-san might be excited to find something.
Yeah,
new
that's
too.
The thing for him. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So other than the fish, you know, procuring fish, what is the biggest challenge in running your business?
Okay. Of course, I think it's clear that the pandemic has caused a lot, many like loss of customer connection. For us, it is very sad. Such an experience is decreasing because, yeah, it is the most rewarding moment when the person in front of us is pleased with the like deliciousness of our food. But even in this environment, there are many ways to make customers happy. For example, by, yeah, as I mentioned earlier, like opening a small store or like using e-commerce is a way, I think. So we should like pivot and look for the moment when our joy and the customer's joy overlap and they meet. Yeah.
Right. And you kind of mentioned already, but what's the most rewarding part of your business?
Yeah, I think when the value of the fish to that person changes, like as I mentioned, like the girls has been to the sushi restaurant for her first life, the first very first time in her life, like or the words like, oh wow, this is the best tuna in my whole life, or like, wow, I didn't know how much fish is fun, or kind of like that. So because we believe like changing society starts with like someone's emotions. So we are very happy to see like very strong emotion about fish and how it changed their not life but like life, like daily activities. Yeah.
Right. And of course we are always now, especially lately in current, you know, events happening in the global warming and also sustainability of the planet. So how do you predict the future of seafood based on what you deal with, you know, that's getting fish through different kinds of markets? And how do you think your business model can make it brighter?
Yes, we think that fish disposal is an issue that we should be focusing on. And we have a new project in this area working on. And yeah, I want to tell you that the percentage of unused fish is very high. Well, not only in Japan, but in the US as well. Like with approximately 40% of total catches of the fish going to unused. And that unused fish are really very delicious if you know how to treat or how to cook. So even like within the small countries of Japan, like fish are often disposed of as inedible in some areas, but when you go to other areas, they are on like a dinner table. They are eaten very deliciously. So it's only about like information or knowledge about the fish. So as we, this is very interesting fact. So as we are eating like limited amount of life of the sea, we must always think about like reducing that waste.
Well, 40% is just amazingly huge waste.
It is.
And then, you know, it's a famous story of tuna, fatty tuna. Japanese people were not used to eating fatty meat, I mean, the fish meat back then, because there's no, you know, basically people didn't eat meat in Japan for hundreds of years. So people used to throw it away. And then now it's gold, price of gold at the tourist market. And so I'm sure that 40% contains a lot of hidden gems and, you know, men can really make a lot of money, which is sustainable for the business too. So, but I'm curious, what kind of fish have you discovered through local fish market?
It's very, I don't know the English name, but maybe Akiko-san will know, like utsubo, can eatable. They are eatable and they're really, really good.
Yeah.
If you can explain what utsubo is in English. I don't know that name of English, but.
Utsubo is kind of like eel looking, right?
Kind of eel looking, but no one thinks it's eatable and it's for the dish.
What's that texture or what's the challenge?
Yeah, it's a picture and I don't know. It's not, I think it's only the custom, like that's not the one you see at the supermarket, or that's not, I think because the process is really hard, like how to trim is a bit difficult because of that shape of that kind of eel thing. Yeah,
but it's kind of scary looking too, right?
Like... It is.
Yeah,
but I think it's a technique is essential for these kind of things, and we process like utsubo into kind of like tempura and sell them to supermarket as a package. And the customers simply love it. It tastes like soft sea bream. Not sea bream, but it's more like soft.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. The kind texture of flaky. Is really good. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I just looked up and, you know, the picture is just pretty scary. The big teeth.
You can see that. Yeah, you can find them like aquarium.
Right. You know. Yeah, well, that's great. Great to know. Maybe next event abroad, you can do
that's a good fun, and it's a good surprise, and to know like they are eatable and they're actually really good.
I'm curious though, and knowing that you can find all those interesting fish, and do you teach how to process fish, like a fillet fish as well?
Yes, we do. During the tour, so we invite customers to the market and let them buy like anything they want, and then take them to like a little kitchen inside the market, and then show them like how to trim the fish, which they just bought. So they know like the whole process, like how it comes and how it can be changed into like sashimi or sushi or kind of like that. So yeah, we do.
Right, so then our listeners, if they're interested, you can just join the Toyosu market tour, and then they can learn how to fillet fish.
Yes,
that's awesome. And of course they can take it home, I mean to
yes
the
of
hotel,
course of course, or you can just have it on site.
Interesting. And the Tsukiji market has that kind of rentable space to be able to process fish. That's very cool. I really sounds like Toyosu Market is highly updated and make fish more accessible to customers.
Yeah.
Right. So what are your plans and dreams?
So we originally started as our business. Well, as my husband's solo like business, and then transformed into like husband and wife unit, and then into a community place that includes our kids. And for us, it will be very interesting to see how our kids like change this experience to their career and give us interesting input into the business.
How old are they now?
7 and 4.
Okay.
Yeah, they love cooking and they love fishing, and they are very curious about like lives. So yeah, we are very excited about like how this experience make them like think about their career. And also the second one is also is about like our overseas expansion, of course. Because we always feel that there is a demand or needs for the development of Japanese food technology and Japanese food culture as well. And now this is just idea about like ecosystem of like fish eating culture, such as like aquaculture, will be like a different, like difficult but interesting topic to bring to overseas. So yeah, we are thinking about like how our action should be in overseas, and this is a very exciting plan for us.
Right. I can't wait to start traveling again.
Thank you.
Right. And I see, for example, in New York, there are a couple restaurants who try to utilize local fish, and then we can do some collaborative dinners and some events.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. And then again, this, you know, the fishmonger with a storefront, this concept, I think, is really going to be important. And also, and understanding the complexity of fish distribution, especially in Japan, it's just that, you know, luckily, Kazuhiro-san has the background of personal connection, but this is a very traditionally built
It is. System, it is. Right? It has quite a long history. But I feel that, like, they are not thinking this is the only way to do. They realize they have to change in some way. So we have a lot of people who can help us in Tsukiji Otters Market. So we don't think like they are like protecting themselves in like very old way. They are still, I think they are changing in their behavior or the custom. So yeah, I think
interesting.
It takes time, but yeah, I enjoy the process.
Right. What I heard is that when Tsukiji moved to Toyosu, the all the structures kind of restructured, and then everybody has to look at the fee at each stage. So the distributor who brings in fish to the market, and there's another distributor who brings the fish out of the market, and all those things based on human connections, and this I've been working with this for fishmonger for like three generations. How can I change that? The money is also important to manage. So I think you are representing also the change in the traditional system, and hopefully in a good way. So
yes, hopefully in a good way, yeah.
All right. So where can we find your updates online and on social media?
Yes. We are not very, very active on social media at the moment, but you can search us for us with Fish and Dish on Instagram, or you can check us on our webpage, fishanddish.com. And also, we are not very active on social, but you can always reach out to us by email or direct message on Instagram anytime, and we are very open for like any communication to like everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Like anywhere, like anytime, everywhere. So, yeah. Right.
So, and your website is very cool with lots
of
pictures and video, and you are in the market with Kazuhiro.
Thank you.
Yeah, so basically it's www.fishanddish.com and Instagram. And Instagram fish_n_dish_.
Thank you.
Right. Okay, so good luck, and keep me posted.
Thank you very much. Hope to see you in New York.
Yeah, and also in Toyosu too.
Yes, definitely, yeah.
Right. All right, so listeners, if you have any questions or comments about the show or suggestions for show topics or guests, please contact us at japanese@heritageradionetwork.org or kikokatema.com. Japanese is a weekly program and is always available at heritageradionetwork.org, as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. Engineer is Armin Spengen, and thank you for listening. I will see you next week. Japan Eats is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.